coming back from the hospital in Milwaukee, visiting my dad. We're going up to spend the night at my brother's, and there's a rather large storm up ahead of us, and we were driving along, and we could see the black clouds. I mean, it's just the wall cloud, and then just pitch black. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Lightning all over, and then this front started coming through, and the wind started whipping up around us, and we're driving on this road, and I think it was road Highway 45, and on one side was like swampland, and on this side was a plowed field. And while we're driving by that field, the wall cloud came through, and all of a sudden that whole field started spinning, like the bottom of a tornado, and we're like right next to it. It's like, my sister goes, "What's that?" And I said, "That's a tornado." Took off. Like, get out of here, man. Luckily, the thing never formed. I was waiting to see if it'd chase us down, but that was a once-in-a-lifetime thing. That was unbelievable. But anyways. All right. Let's turn in our Bibles here tonight to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. And let's have a word of prayer here before we start. Lord, again, I just come to you real quick here and ask for your help. This is your word. I don't want to preach it wrong. In your name, amen. All right. Well-known verse. Verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And verse 8, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Kind of focusing on those first three words, well, the first seven actually, but be not deceived. Seems to me that that's the game these days that the devil likes to play, is deception. That's so big in these days. It's unbelievable. I mean, you see it happening all around us. I work in a jail, and those guys are looking to deceive me at all times. They're looking to pull the wool over my eyes, trying to get a benefit for themselves. And it's kind of funny, because when I looked up the definition of deceived, it says, cause to believe something that is not true, typically in order to gain some personal advantage. That just fits it perfectly. That's exactly what they do. They try to put on a sob story. Just today, I had a guy trying to get me to give him a phone call. And you're saying, well, that's pretty easy. Well, you don't understand all the circumstances. And it wasn't that easy. And he was taking every avenue he could to try and get me to get him that phone call, because he needs his meds and only his mom can send him in. And I'm like, so I called the nurse, and the nurse told me what was actually going on, and it was taken care of. So that's one thing you learn in a jail setting, and you could probably take with you tonight, is get both sides of the story before you make a decision. So let's dismiss. No, I'm just kidding. Woohoo! <Yeah. laughs> But deceived is it's so big today. Look what we got going on. You got people deceiving, trying to tell you that Trump or Clinton are the best for this country. Talk about deception. You always say voting for the lesser of two evils. You're still voting for evil. You know, which one is best? Who knows? I mean, we know it's not Hillary, and Trump, I have no idea what he's going to do from one minute to the next. So it's unbelievable. That was not a political statement, so don't get me on that one, but it's so crazy. But I remember back when Romney and Obama were going at it, and Romney would say, well, he did this, and Obama's like, no, one of them's lying. It's that simple. One of them's lying, and that's what we got. That's what's going on around us. This phrase, be not deceived, appears five times in the scripture. In Deuteronomy 11, he's talking to the Israelites. In Luke chapter 21, verse 8, he's talking to the disciples. And then it appears twice in 1 Corinthians. And then in Galatians here, we just read. So be not deceived. So what is it? What are some things that he doesn't want us to be deceived about? Who is going to be doing the deceiving? So what we're going to be doing tonight is going through some of these verses, and we're going to do like a who, what, how, why, and how many, and all that kind of thing with being deceived. And there's so many things going on in the world today. I mean, what frustrates me is to come to a church like this where you have pretty much right around 100 faithful people that are here every service. That is so rare. Usually it's like 150 in the morning and 20 at night. But they did their duty. I was there on Sunday morning, So it's just, but to have a faithful group of people like this is really something. But then I looked up the website. This is popular. I mean, I looked up the website for Eagle Brook today. That's amazing. I had thousands and thousands of people going to this church. And I don't know, it's deception. They have nothing to offer, nothing at all. I clicked on the youth thing, and they come into an auditorium, and all these guys, they have a rock band up there just jamming away, and all the kids are going at it. Why are we offering the world the world? Can't you see through that? Can't you just look and say, wow, I already got that. Why would I want to come to church? I could sleep in on Sunday. I don't need this. I can sleep in and then pop the popcorn and get the steaks ready and watch the Vikes. I mean, why do I need this? Come on. But it's deception. It's just frustrating. It's frustrating to sit there and watch these fake churches. It's all deception. It's all it is. They make them feel good about themselves. Oh, I went to church. I go to Eagle Brook. Yeah, right down here, I go to Eagle Brook. It's great, man. The guy doesn't wear a tie. He's not stuck up. He looks just like us. They play rock music. Yeah. Smashes the can on his head. But it's going on all around us, so deception. I mean, just like the Menards ad, 11% off, but you still end up spending the money there. It's deception. It's just, come on. Give me a break. So we got Paul here. He's telling this to a body of believers at Galatia. Be not deceived. Be not deceived. Be not. Be not. The first two words. It could happen. It could happen to any one of us. Be not. It's up to us whether it happens or not. So we need to be ready for this. We need to be ready. And the best way to be ready, obviously, is to be in and know the Word of God. And none of us are at the point where we need to be, where we got, I've been in some churches where, it seems like they've tapped the Bible out and they've got to go on to other programs and other things and do things. How can you tap this thing out? Every time you read it, you get something new. I mean, except when I get up here, it's all old hat. But pastor gets up here, he's read it over 100 times, and here's something I want to show you I've never seen before. He's like, really? That's great. But it's just people are being deceived into thinking they need more than the Word of God. Or a different Bible. I need a Bible written by man. Then I'll have it all figured out. Come on. All right. Anyways, let's go on. We're going to start. I got a lot to cover here, so I'm going to get going. And I got to get up in the morning, like a lot of you guys too. So I don't. If I fall asleep up here, just throw something. Paul's sleeping tonight too. He told me so. Keep an eye on him. Anybody else? Jonathan here. All right, yeah, throw things at these guys. Keep an eye on them. He sat in the wrong role. You got everybody throwing out there. All right. right, let's start by who are we not to be deceived by? All right, first one is man. I'm just going to rattle off a bunch of verses here that I have down. Man, we're not to be deceived by man. It says in Matthew 24:4, take heed that no man deceive you. You got false prophets, you got false Christs. Mark 13:5 says, and Jesus answering them began to say, take heed lest any man deceive you. Any man. 1 Corinthians 3:18, let no man deceive you. Ephesians 4:14 says, by the sleight of men. Ephesians 5:6, let no man. 2 Thessalonians 2:3, let no man. There it is, that let. See, what is it? What did I say? Be not. There we go. Be not. It's up to you. Be not deceived. And here it is. Let no man. Don't let it happen. All right? So it's up to us whether it happens or not. 1 John 3:7, little children, let no man deceive you. So it goes on and on. So it's first one is man. And man has a lot of different devices, and we mentioned one with the Bibles. It said, you know, and you've all read this, I'm sure, in the preface of the NIV, where it says, "As all versions of the Bible written by imperfect man." That's the first phrase. It's like, really? Okay, so the Bible's written by man, so we don't have the Word of God, so let's all go home. We have nothing to build a house on. We have nothing to build a life upon. We have no truth to show you. All we have is an empty husk. We have nothing. It's written by man. Man knows more than God, so just go home and listen to the news. Listen to Trump. Listen to Hillary. They know more than God ever did. Man wrote a Bible. So that was my bit on that. So man, we're going to listen to man. Come on. You know, there's just too much stuff going on. There's too many false preachers and false advertisements and everything. Let's turn over to Proverbs chapter 12. So we're not to be deceived by man. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 17 says, he that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. False witness. I've heard that before, like Jehovah's false witness. Yeah, right? Right? False witnesses. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, turn over there real quick. We'll do a lot of this tonight, except when we get later on, then I just got a bunch of them written down, so you just have to listen to me read. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed to an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed into ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Isn't that, it just kind of blends in with that verse we read to begin with. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. They know that. The devil knows that. He knows his end. He knows what's going to happen. So they're going to get what they sow. Romans 16:18, you don't have to turn that. I got that one here. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. All right, we talked the other night about not putting any stumbling blocks in front of the weak, in front of the people who are younger Christians, so to speak, or some who just aren't as learned as you are. So be careful, because there's somebody else out there looking, the false teachers and the false prophets are all looking to suck those guys in. They're using the fair speeches and the fair words to suck the weak people in, the simple people who don't know any better. A Jehovah's Witness can show up on a doorstep of any weak Christian and tie him in knots. And have them probably attending their church the next Sunday. As you know, so that it's, you got man and you got false teachers. Then turn over to 1 John First John, real quick. Here's a third one that who we're not to be deceived by. First John chapter 1, verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. You think you're better than somebody else? You think you can criticize somebody else for what they're doing wrong? Maybe you should look in the mirror. Maybe we should take a good look and just say, what's up with me? Instead of taking darts and throwing them someone else's way, I think we need to really take a good look at ourselves, because one day we're going to answer for ourselves, not for what somebody else is doing. You know, and we could almost be like that Pharisee in the temple sometimes.
Oh, thank you that I'm not like they are.
You know, and we are. We're worse. We're worse. So, you know, we need to humble ourselves and realize that sometimes we're our worst enemy. James chapter 1, verse 26. We read this verse the other night. James 1, 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. So who are we not to be deceived by? We got man, false teachers, and ourselves. Ourselves. We got to watch out for these three. You just got to watch out not to be deceived. And like I mentioned before, stay in the Word. Read the Bible. Listen to preaching. Talk to others about the Word of God. Ask questions. If you have a question, if you're reading the Bible and say, well, I never saw that before, I wonder if that's what that means. Search the Scriptures. If you don't find an answer, ask somebody else. Don't be too proud to go up to somebody and say, hey, what does that mean? Or would this be a fair rendering of that, what that says? You know, ask questions. Have a craving for the Word of God. Have a desire to learn the Bible. You know, just put that, think of your favorite food. You know, like that verse that Job said, I desire your word more than my necessary food. You know, I like tater tot hot dish. Oh. But I should desire this more than a big old pan of tater tot hot dish. Right? Or what's that French silk pie? Oh, amen. Or any ice cream. All right? So, but we need to crave the Word of God, because that's the only way we're going to be able to tell, somebody's talking or preaching or saying something, wow, that doesn't sound right. That doesn't seem right to me. And you go back and you're probably right. You may have just been, somebody may have just thrown in some fair speeches and some nice words there and tried to trick you into believing something that's not right. So beware, be not deceived. Be not deceived by man or by false teachers or by yourself. Okay, so that's the who. Now the what. What are we not to be deceived by? Go to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verse 22. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Deceitfulness of riches. Oh, if I had a lot more money. You know, and every one of us, I don't know about everyone, I'll say for myself, not lately, of course, but if I won the lottery, I don't play the lottery, but if I won the lottery, oh, I'd pay the building off, and I'd build this church, and I'd do all the, buy somebody a new car, pay off my parents' mortgage, just all these things. Deceitfulness of riches. And then you hear the stories of all these people who won the lottery, and it's miserable. It's misery. All of a sudden, they got friends showing up at their door they never thought they had or never knew they had.
hey, how'd you like to donate to this? Oh, you're a jerk. You know,
and they got to go hide in a log cabin up in the middle of upper peninsula of Michigan or something. You know, just to get away from it all. Or in a couple of years, they're broke. They have no money. They just go hog wild with the money. Oh, the famous all the football players, the NFL, a stat came out a couple years ago. 78% of all NFL players are bankrupt within 2 years of retiring. Have you seen those contracts? Isn't that crazy? Yeah, they got to give up the Cadillac with the solid gold rims, you know. Give me a break. Cash it in. You'd probably pay off some of your tennis shoe bills. You know, unbelievable the money these guys get. Who's that guy, the guy for the Vikings, the number 22? Harrison Smith just signed $51 million for 5 years. That's amazing. That is. But he can't go out in public. He can't go down there and have a Big Mac. He can't. Can't go to Perkins. He can't. He can't. He can't go out in public. Everybody knows who he is. He's Harrison Smith. You know, he just can't do it. He's just miserable. You know, the only time he's probably not is when he's on the practice field or the playing field. That's the only time. So deceitfulness of riches, 1 Timothy 6:10, I'm sorry, I kind of jabber a little bit. 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. There it is. The Bible tells you before you even go out and look for it. If you go out and chase money, you're going to have a life full of sorrows. Okay, I'm going to go do it anyways. I think I'll be the exception to the rule. I know more than God. You know, it's unbelievable. So deception, the deceitfulness of riches. What else can get us? Proverbs 21, I'll just read this. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. They make the beer commercials make it look fun, don't they? That you see the signs and everybody's laughing and smiling. They don't show them laying in their puke later on in the evening. They don't show some girl waking up the next morning realizing she lost everything she lived for. But some guy took advantage. How about this thing down in Stanford? The thing, I don't know if you saw it on the news, a girl got drunk at a party, passed out, and a guy raped her. And he got 6 months. Really? You know, we're not going to go into the judicial system, but the glories of drink. Woohoo! Look at the... Hey, it looks fun on the football commercials, doesn't it? Man, living. Hey, you know, just party up. You know, if you go out and party with the guys or you go here, you're going to meet this beautiful gal at the bar and, you know, you're going to live happily ever after until you wake up the next morning. I mean, they make it look glorified, they make it look fun, but it's deceit. It's deceitful. That's the way the devil works. It's deceit. Money, booze, cigarettes, drugs. And then at the end, what do you got left? But to reach up. That's all that's left. But hey, it's too bad too many people have to learn the hard way when there's so many people, even here tonight, they could say, don't do it. It's a mess. It's a waste of time. Don't go down that road. But you'll sit there and, I can do it. I'll be different. Yeah, right. Okay, you go be different. How about, all right, now we're going to get into an area here where we can turn. Luke chapter 21:8. So strong drink is deceitful. It's deceitful. Luke chapter 21. Be not deceived. Luke chapter 21, verse 8. And he said, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. False gods. False, saying false things. I read that and say, coming in my name. And I think of that verse in Matthew where it says, Depart from me, I never knew you. Have we not done many wonderful things in thy name? Didn't say for you or for thy sake, it says in your name. Be careful about that. Oh, we're doing this for Christ. We're doing this for in Jesus Christ's name. Really? What's with the rock band? What's with the fake Bible? Wasn't his word good enough for you to use? What are you giving the street preacher hassle for? And all he's doing is spreading the gospel. Oh, we don't do it that way. Well, okay, show me a better way. Show me a better way. There's a pastor I know. They were out street preaching on the street. And this guy comes up and, you know, the first dreaded words, oh, I'm a Christian too. And, well, you're doing it wrong. You're just not doing it the right way, you know. And the guy goes, oh, really? So there's two girls coming down the sidewalk. He goes, excuse me, ma'am, could you come here for a second? Just for 1 second. This man, we're out here preaching and giving out the gospel, but this man wants to show you a better way. No, I don't. No, I don't. Yeah, you said you have a better way, and we'd like you to take this time and show these girls a better way to preach the gospel. No, I don't. Well, no, I don't. He goes, okay. Gives him a track, says, thank you for your time. If you could just read this track when you get an opportunity, it tells you I can know for sure you're going to heaven, and you can go your way. Don't you ever stop us from preaching again. You do not have a better way. You're chicken. You're afraid to mention the name of Christ in public. Don't ever come around us again.
That's right.
They don't. They don't have a better way. I ran into that down in Nicollet. Brother Paul was on the other corner preaching. And, he, you know, Paul, he's real subtle. And and then she stopped, this lady stops by and she taps me on the arm and says, that man's offensive. I said, what way? I said, he's preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Does that offend you? Well, that isn't what I meant. You know. Brother. What a joke. Okay, so what's going to deceive us? I forgot what's going to deceive us. I wrote the notes. Riches, you got strong drink, false gods. Okay, how will they deceive us? How are they going to deceive us? Jeremiah chapter 9. Go to Jeremiah chapter 9. I love Jeremiah. He tells it like it is. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 5. And they will deceive everyone his neighbor and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies and weary themselves to commit iniquity. Wow, that's pretty powerful. Speaking lies. Speaking lies. I read that Eagle Brook page and that and find anything about them going out and telling others about Christ. Nothing. What do you got? You got another nightclub with a Christian name on it. Church. Why don't you just call it Bar Church? Why don't you just call it that? Just like your dad was talking about that church up in Becker. They meet at a campus in a bar? Are you serious? Come on. Skip the church part. Just call it Kegger Church. Come to our church and get smashed for Jesus. For our Jesus. The one that's in the new Bibles. Unbelievable. Speaking lies. Good words and fair speeches. Romans 16, 18. We already read that one. Got it right here. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches deceive hearts of the simple. You know why some of these people aren't. You think about this. I just thought about this thing that happened down in Florida where that gay bar got shot up. You know, some of these people aren't going to speak up about it because they're going to lose their money. They're going to lose their position. They're going to lose their fame. And they're going to lose their fortune. So this verse made me think about that.
they serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. They're going to say what covers for them. So they're going to good words and fair speeches. Joel Osteen was on the Larry King show and asked him, are Muslims Christians? And he bought fair words and fancy speeches and got around it. Oh, you wimp. Why don't you tell it like it is? What do you got to lose? Deceitfulness of riches? Yeah, he's got that big golden globe spinning behind him, you know, on his platform there. He doesn't want to lose that. My lands. He has to give up his spinning rims on his wheels, too. All right? Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Good words and fair speeches. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. You want to mess with the wrath of God? Hey, maybe you should talk to somebody that lived in Sodom. Oh, that's right. They all got killed. Sorry about that. Oh, go over to Gomorrah. Oh, they're gone too. You want to mess with the wrath of God? Listen to somebody with vain words. Turn on Charles Stanley in the morning on Sunday. Come on. Listen to the vain words. Listen to the world's clarion call. You need money. You need fame. You need fortune. Go to this beer party. You'll be happy. Go to this party. You'll be great. Shop at this store. You'll save 11%. You know, come on. The world's clarion, it's all vain, vain words. It's an emptiness at the end. You can play better golf if you use these clubs. No, you can't. I've tried. I golfed with a guy at work all the time, and he got a brand new set of irons. At that time, it was, what are those things called? King Cobras. They were the club of the, Hale Irwin was using them, and he was winning every tournament he was in. So this guy goes out and buys a new set of King Cobras. And he gets out there, and we're on this par three. He takes an 8-iron and shanks it into the water. What happened? He blames the club. He blamed the club. He took that thing and threw it down by the water hole. I said, hey, I got a 12-year-old set of Hogan Edges here. I'll trade you even up for that brand new set. You know, he didn't take me up on it, but... You know, vain words. Use this golf ball. Use that bowling ball. Use this gun. You know, guns are good. Whatever gun you can get it. But anyways. So they're going to deceive. How are they going to deceive us? Speaking lies. Good words and fair speeches. They want you to feel good. Oh, that's going to make me happy. Oh, that's going to... You sit there and watch it. You're going to get sucked in. And if you look at the news and you watch, you read the articles, Hillary Clinton's the best thing since sliced bread. And Trump said this, and Trump said that. Blah, blah, you know, it's just, but Hillary, you know, it's just, it's unbelievable. Fair speeches and good, they're trying to lure you in and get sucked into something that's not right. You think those guys, the only hope for this country is Christ. But they threw that out the window years ago. The only hope right now is people who preach on the street and hand out tracts and getting out the gospel as often as we possibly can. That's the only thing we can do. This country's gone. Unbelievable. They're afraid to say something bad about a satanic religion. And a satanic lifestyle. Just tell it like it is. Boy, you'd be shot that quick. Amen. Unbelievable. By the Democrats, probably. Amen. And the Republicans now. Amen. All right, anyways. And then they're going to come in Christ's name. I just got a couple verses here I'll read for you real quick. I got Matthew 24:5. I mentioned this already. For many shall come in my name. Matthew 24:5. Mark 13:6,
For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And then Luke 21:8, if I can find it here. Anyways, it says the same thing. Luke 21:8, talking about coming in my name, in Christ's name. And they're going to tell, and people are going to believe it. And it's not, they won't take their Bibles and look it up and say, that's not Christ. That's not the Jesus Christ that I know. I met a girl once. She said, "Oh, I feel I could go and watch that movie with if Christ were here, I'd take him with me." Really? That's not the Christ of the Bible. That may be the Christ of your Bible, but not the Word of God. Amen. You're deceived. You've been sucked in by people who say the NIV is a good book. It is not. Amen. For kindling. I think I've seen a few of them at the Darlings cabin. Boom! Kindling, man. It's unbelievable. All right, so how will they deceive us? Speaking lies, good words, and fair speeches. What should we do? What should we do about the deceitfulness? What do we need to do? These I'm just going to read off because it's going kind of late. Deuteronomy 11:16. Take heed. Take heed. Pay attention. Listen to what you're saying. We talked about that the other night. Listen to what people are saying. There's a deceit. There's a thread running through a lot of things that are going on today. And it's all the deceitfulness. And it's all by Satan himself. And he's using men. And he's using fair speeches and all that stuff to get into your heads and make you think. So we take heed. It's mentioned in Deuteronomy 11:16, Luke 21:8, Matthew 24:4. It says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. And then Mark 13:5 again. And Jesus answering them began to say, take heed lest any man deceive you. Pay attention. Isn't that what it says about the Bible? Be sober, or about the devil? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. There it is again. Be not, let, may. It's up to you. It's up to you whether it happens or not. You got to listen. You got to pay attention. You got to stay in the Word of God. Why should we take heed? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Take heed. We need to, because we can't be, this church is solid in its doctrine, but most churches are not. And if you're not careful, you can get sucked into believing something that's not right. So you got to get solid. You got to be solid in that. And then why should we take heed? Galatians 6:7, where we began. Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. God is not mocked. You're not going to make fun of God. He's going to get the last say. He's going to get the last laugh. You always, it ticked me off the other day after the shooting down in Florida. What are the celebrities saying about the shooting in Florida? Really? Okay, so you got, there's only a few that I recognized. Cher, I'm dating myself. Most of them I didn't, and most of them looked like they were homosexuals to begin with. Kardashian, two of them. And then, there was like 50 of them. But every one of them was saying, praying for Orlando. Who are you praying to? God's not mocked.
Oh, Kim's praying for him. It's going to be great. Everything's going to turn out for the better.
You're not going to bring back those 50 lost souls that just went to hell. Kim? Ellen DeGeneres? But those are people's gods. Those are false prophets. They're false gods. But people, every night, they got their altar set up and they turn the channels on it and watch their gods. And every one of them are going to stick up for whatever's negative. They're going to be positive and everything, so they don't lose their money. They're not going to lose their popularity. They're going to say, oh, I'm praying for Orlando. We need to get rid of guns and pray for Orlando. Why don't you give them a couple of your million? Well, that'll solve everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, let's not get rid of my money. It's unbelievable. God's not mocked. God's going to get the last laugh. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Number one, he won't hear them praying for Orlando because he doesn't even know who they are. Kim who? And oh, Kim, you know Kardashians? You know, you ever watch the show? I don't think God's got a TV. I really don't. I don't think he's got cable and Dish Network. You know, I don't think he's got that stuff. Don't think he really cares. What are you doing with it? What are we being? Are we being sucked into that stuff too? That's another thing we need to watch out for. Careful what you're watching on that thing. All these talk shows and reality shows, what a joke. What a stinking joke. It's all so fake and false and scripted, all to get you sucked into what the world's handing out, all the garbage the world wants to hand out. So I'm going to read this quote here to end this whole thing. And to mock God, now listen to this. To mock God is to pretend that we love and serve him when we do not. To act in a false manner, to be insincere and hypocritical in our professions, pretending to obey him, love, serve, and worship him when we do not. Mocking God grieves the Holy Spirit and sears the conscience. And thus the bands become stronger, the bands of sin become stronger and stronger. The heart becomes gradually hardened by such a process. That was Charles Finney back in the 1800s. You don't want to mess with God.
Amen.
Why are you here tonight? Are you here because you have to be? Are you here because you feel like you got to be here or somebody's going to call you? What's your purpose in being here tonight? If you're sitting here putting on the face, if you're sitting here putting on the garb, you're putting on, oh, praise the Lord. And when you walk out of here, you turn on KQ. And listen to that on the way home. Amen. Are you sitting here for the right reasons or are you mocking God? Amen. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Be careful. Amen. Be not deceived. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this night. Thank you for the word of God. There's so much more to be said. And Lord, I just pray that we would continue, every one of us, to encourage one another, pray for one another, and Lord, to read our Bibles with purpose and intent. And Lord, just pray for one another and just listen to each other's difficulties and all these prayer requests tonight. People have things in their heart and they want us to pray with them about it. Lord, help us to be faithful in doing that. This world is not easy to live in anymore. And Lord, but help us to stay faithful in preaching and handing out tracts. Thank you again for this night. And I thank you for the Word of God and all that it is and all the truth that lies within its pages. Thank you so much for it. Bless us now as we go our separate ways. Lord, I pray that you'd bless us, give us safety as we travel. And all those that are going out of town here in the next few days, I pray that you give them safety as well. Thank you again for this time we can spend in your Word. And
I pray that you'd bless us the rest of this evening with the fellowship to follow. In your name, amen.
All right. Number 354.
We're going to end with that. 354.